Come on in and have a seat. So we're going to have a baptism service today at the close of our time here together. And so I wanted to take some time today just to talk about what baptism is and what it means. And we have a favorite story. I'll embarrass my kids a little bit. But they were all born really close together. And when you're in a large family, at certain ages, instead of just bathing everybody separately, just throw them all in the tub, right? And so anyway... And they were real young. Tobin and Haley were in the tub, and they were young enough to be in there together, but old enough to where we didn't have to be like watching them the whole time. And we're in the other room, and all of a sudden we hear this shriek. And so we go running in. We're like, "What is going on?" And you see Haley just wiping her face, and Tobin sitting there with a very satisfied smile on his face. I said, "What is going on?" And Haley says, "Tobin was holding me under the water." And I said, "Tobin, why were you holding your sister under the water?" And before he could respond, Haley jumps in again, and she says, "I was trying to get up, but he kept pushing me back down, saying, 'You must be baptized. You must be baptized.'" So, in regards to my previous announcement, see, discipleship is so helpful. But I grew up Southern Baptist. And our sanctuaries looked a little different than ours. We didn't have chairs. We weren't cool. We had pews, but then there were steps up to the altar, and that's where the pastor would preach. But then even on a higher level was the choir, and then at the pinnacle of the sanctuary was the baptismal, which is a holy word for tub, right? And on Sunday nights, they would dim the lights, and only the baptismal was lit up, so all eyes were right there. And then you'd see the pastor descend from on high into the baptismal, and he was wearing this robe. And then somebody would come in from the other side, and he'd baptize them, and everybody would just go nuts. And I'm just like, well, it's cool, they got saved. Why are we celebrating when they got saved? What is this thing about baptism that was so exciting that everybody's just rejoicing over? Why do we have to do this? What's the point? And so it's good for us just to revisit some of these things. Like, that's some of the questions and things we're going to be looking at today. Like, what is baptism? What does it symbolize, and why is it important? And so let's go ahead and stand together. Just as we get into the Word, and we just want to posture our hearts and just receive from the Holy Spirit just all He wants to minister to us today from His Word. So I'm going to invite you just for the next 30 seconds, if you would, just pray quietly to yourself and just asking the Holy Spirit to come and bless this time in His Word. We need grace to hear. I need grace to speak. And we just welcome the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, that You're here. We thank You that You desire to draw us close to Yourself. And we ask You, Lord, today for eyes to see and ears to hear. We ask You today for minds to comprehend. We ask, Holy Spirit, that You would release wisdom and understanding in the knowledge of who the Father is. Lord, we ask You today for a greater understanding into the work that You've done in transforming our lives. We ask You for help and understanding what it means to be a disciple. And Lord, we need You to do more than what just our words could accomplish on their own. Lord, we need revelation from You, Holy Spirit. So come now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. And we're reading in Romans chapter 6, beginning in verse 3. Paul writes, or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Everybody say the word baptize. You just spoke Greek. The word baptize is what they call a transliteration. It's a word from another language that we just use in English. We had a neighbor one time, we were having conflict, and he said, we need to parlay. And I'm like, parlay? And I realized he's speaking French, like parlez-vous, français, we need to talk. Right? Or we say rendezvous, French words in English that we just use. Baptize, it's a Greek word. And the word baptize means to immerse. And so we read in the Bible about John the Immerser. I was raised a southern immerser. That's what this word baptize means. I used the example not too long ago. If you had a bowl of soup, you would take your spoon and you would baptize it into your bowl of soup to retrieve all the goodness out of there. And so one of the reasons why we have a horse trough out by the side of the parking lot today is because we believe in immersion, and there's a reason that we practice this, and that's just simply, one of the reasons is that's just what the word means, is immersion. But we have also examples from Scripture. John the Baptist in John chapter 3, he says he was baptizing in a certain area because there was plenty of water there. If you were just doing a little sprinkling, you wouldn't need plenty of water. Jesus, it says that as he was coming up out of the water, that the Spirit descended on him like a dove. And of course, if you're familiar with the book of Acts, Philip is witnessing to the Ethiopian eunuch, and he says, I want to be baptized right now. And so they both went down into the water to be baptized. And so there's some debate in the church over sprinkling or immersion, and I don't think it's anything to get hung up on. It's because it's an act of faith. It's an act of obedience and response to what God's done in our life. In fact, you could say, like communion, it's a sermon for the senses, to where we're seeing it, we're experiencing it, we're walking through it. It's proclaiming something. And so there are people who are physically unable to come to church or get into a tub to be immersed. And so I'm confident that God's not saying, well, until you're immersed, things aren't going right. Well, I've heard of certain cultures and areas where there's not a lot of water, what they'll do is they'll dig a trench like a grave. And then they'll have the person lay down in the grave and then wrap them in white cloths and just pour water over them. It's the same picture. It's the same step of faith. But we choose immersion because we're able to, and I think it most aptly describes what Paul is talking about here in Romans 6. But what does baptism symbolize? You know, another way to think of this, again, we said it's immersion. And so if you want to paraphrase what Paul is saying here, he says, or don't you know that all of us who were immersed into Christ Jesus were immersed into his death. We were therefore buried with him through immersion into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. This idea of immersion also works with cloth and dye. And if you baptize cloth into dye, you immerse it into the dye, what happens to it? It becomes changed. It becomes transformed. It becomes something brand new. And so baptism, it's this immersion because we are immersed in Christ. And when that happens, we become something brand new. We become transformed. And the reason immersion is such a powerful picture is because the entire person is immersed. Because when you got saved, it wasn't just your spirit. It was every part of your life. We don't get saved just so we could do one holy thing on Sundays, throw a little on the plate, do a little charity, and then go about our lives living them how we see fit. We're immersed into Christ, every part of us. And so how do you handle your finances? Do you handle your finances in a way that's submitted to the Lordship of Jesus? Sometimes there are relationships. There are relationships that are out of the will of God. that part of you needs to come under the lordship of Jesus Christ as well. There are relationships in our lives that are broken. They need to come under the lordship of Jesus Christ. There are relationships sometimes which aren't helping you spiritually. Friendships that you need to separate yourself from because you need to bring your relationships under the lordship of Jesus Christ. What about our work ethic? Right? Are you show up on time? Are you a help and a blessing to your employer? Are you milking the clock and looking to cut corners? Are you complaining or gossiping or murmuring? How does the lordship of Jesus Christ affect your work life? How does it affect how you spend your time? How does it affect your entertainment choices? Every part of us is immersed into Christ. Every part of us is immersed into the death of Jesus so that every part of our life is transformed and is raised with Christ. And Paul goes on as he explains this again. As we look at this, for we have been united with him in a death like his. We will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. And so what baptism is proclaiming is that I've not only been immersed in Christ, but I've been joined with Christ in his death because I'm dead to sin. I've done away with that part of my life. I'm separated from sin. As I come up from the waters of baptism, I'm now joined with him in his resurrection. I've been joined with him in his crucifixion, and now he allows me to be joined with him in newness of life, in resurrected life. I've shared this story with you before, but I grew up in the church, but there's a time in my life where I was questioning. I was like, I want to see the power of the resurrection. I really want to see it lived out. And mostly what I had given to me as examples were people who were just sort of just not doing the world thing, but doing the Jesus thing and just trying to be just a little bit better. And I want to see the power. I want to see transformation. And so when I wasn't seeing, I just said, well, forget it. I'm just going to go do whatever I want to do. And I'm going to try and just push the line as much as possible where I can still know I'm going to heaven, but just get away with as much as I can. And part of that journey led me to a Grateful Dead concert. If you don't know who the Grateful Dead are, you're okay. You'll be just fine. But they're not a godly band at all, or weren't. Anyway, so we're at this Grateful Dead concert, and I walk past this vendor, and I see the coolest shirt I've ever seen. It was forest green. Didn't have anything on it that was wicked or it didn't have like the Grateful Dead emblem or anything like that. It was just green, and then it had this tie-dye design. It looked like barbed wire coming down in a V in the front, and then another barbed wire pattern in the back. It was so cool. And my journey was this, is that, you know, I realized at a certain point I can't keep going down this path and still have hope that I'm even going to get into heaven. So I said, I just need to make a break from this crowd and from this life. And so I came to Toccoa Falls College. I really wasn't excited about living for the Lord, really didn't want to, but I just knew I needed to get out of that environment. And I took my T-shirt with me. And part of my sick, immature little humor was this, is I would wear this shirt on campus. And people would say to me, that's a really cool shirt. I'm like, oh, do you like this shirt? They're like, yeah, I think it's really cool. I'm like, I got it at a Grateful Dead concert. And then I would enjoy watching them kind of try and backpedal out of that. Like, well, it's not, no, you said you liked it. The Lord really did a work in my life, and he completely transformed me and changed me, made me new. And all of a sudden, when he did that, I wanted nothing to do with that former life. I don't even really like to tell a whole lot of stories about that time because it's just so shameful how lost I was and how just seeped in wickedness and pride and lust and arrogance and all the stuff. And one day seasons are changing, and so I'm putting away some clothes and pulling out others, and out comes this T-shirt. And the Lord says, that's not who you are anymore. Get rid of it. There's a little wince in my spirit. I'm like, it's a cool shirt. Right, but I recognize that once I'm done with that, like, I want to be immersed in Christ. I've cut off this old way of life. I want no attachment to that any longer. I want to embrace the fullness of his resurrection power and a T-shirt. I don't want to let a T-shirt of all things or my emotional, spiritual attachment to that thing to hinder the fullness of his resurrection in my life. That's what baptism is a picture of. I'm done with that, and I'm risen again in newness of life. This is the work that God's done in me. That's the testimony. That's the sermon for the senses that's preached in baptism. And God has only one way of dealing with sin in our lives, and it's crucifixion. It's death to the flesh. There's no flirting with the flesh or flirting with sin or trying to get away with just enough. It's I'm done with this. It's dead to me. It's in the past. It's left in the waters of baptism. And as we're joined with Jesus in his death, we are joined with him in resurrection. And of course, the question that a lot of people give is it necessary? Is baptism, I mean, is it just symbolic? Do I have to do it? I mean, do I have to? A lot of times the biggest thing we hear from people is like, I'm not comfortable being in front of people like that. Jesus says this in Matthew 28. He says, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And this baptism is listed right there in the mix of evangelism and discipleship. Like, which one of these is symbolic? Which one of these is optional? You know, if you're comfortable with evangelism, good. If not, it's okay. If you're comfortable with teaching or you know, if you're not, then don't worry about it. You don't have to teach anybody about what Jesus says. Just let that go. But that's what we say about baptism. Well, you don't really need to be baptized. Jesus actually links it with the core of discipleship. And Jesus never asked us to do anything that was just purely symbolic. Next week we're going to take communion. Paul says this, he says, because some of you have taken of communion in an improper fashion, some of you have gotten sick and even died over this, which tells me there's something more to communion than just symbolism. There's something where there's a spiritual transaction that takes place there. And if Jesus is commanding, make disciples and baptize them, there's a spiritual transaction that's going to take place this morning as we baptize. That whether we feel something or not, there's a blessing for the person being baptized. You see, here, that's what the faith walk is about. Even if we don't understand all the dynamics, Jesus, I trust you. Even if I don't understand everything that's going on right now, I'm going to believe that you have something good for me in this. And so I'm going to follow you. I'm going to obey. Peter at Pentecost preaches this amazing sermon. And at the end of it, everybody listening there says, well, what should we do? And his response is this: repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Again, which one of these things is optional? Which one of these things you're like, well, you know, if you're okay with the Holy Spirit, then maybe you should receive him. Well, you know what? If you feel comfortable, then repent. But baptism is listed right in the midst of forgiveness of sins, repentance, and the gift of the Holy Spirit. Like, how did we ever get this idea like baptism was kind of an optional thing? Where did that ever come into our thinking? Like, you're okay with God, but because you, and while you've left baptism as just an optional thing. I'll close with this story of, maybe familiar with the Apostle Paul when he was converted. He's on his way to Damascus to persecute Christians. The Lord meets him. He has an encounter with the Lord, a bright shining light, gets knocked off his horse, blinded. And so then he's waiting in Damascus for this man named Ananias to come and see him. Ananias comes and prays for him. And it says immediately, Paul, while he's waiting for 3 days, and he's not eating or drinking anything. Ananias comes and prays for him. It says something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, regained his strength. 3 days, no food, no water. Paul's vision is restored, and his first thought is, I must be baptized. His first thought isn't, I need a burger or I need a drink. His first thought is, I need to be baptized. There are things that are greater than food in our life. Jesus, quoting the Old Testament, said, man does not live by bread alone. Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, is not the body more than food. Like there's something that's life-giving in the place of baptism that even Paul recognized before anything else. I must be baptized. And so that we wrestle with it sometimes. We're like, well, maybe not wrestle with it, but I say, well, baptism, it's not required for salvation. Nope, absolutely not. We're saved by grace through faith. It's all the work of Jesus washing us and cleansing us and making us new. But here's the maybe a better question. Like, if we're willing to withhold this from Jesus, what else are we willing to withhold from him? Like, you can't say, I've completely surrendered everything. I'm immersed in you. You have rulership over every part of my life except for this. You can't say, I'm going to follow you and obey you and I'm dead to my flesh except for this. Like, I'm going to hang on to this because most of the times, like I said, I just don't feel comfortable being in front of people. But there's an act. This is an act. It's a declaration, which is why it's done in community. It's a declaration. It's almost like an initiation, in a sense, to say, listen, I am joined with you as disciples of Jesus. I am joined with you in the fact that I've completely submitted every area of my life to Christ. I am joined with you as I follow him completely in obedience. I am joined with you as I have died to sin, and now I am sharing with you in the resurrected life of Christ. This is what baptism is declaring, and this is why it's exciting. Because somebody else has come into this place where they realize, you know what, there is no life in sin. My life is found in Christ. I no longer live. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live. The life I live now, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. They're walking in that reality. They're embracing that. And so we ask people just three questions. So are you willing to surrender every part of your life to Jesus Christ as Lord? Because that's what baptism is a declaration of. It says, yes, I am. We ask them, are you willing to renounce sin and walk in obedience to God's word by the power of the Holy Spirit? And when they say, yes, I am, we baptize them. And we ask, are you willing to obey Jesus by following him in baptism? And when they respond, yes, we are thrilled. Because we know the Lord's got something great for them. And so if we could have the worship team come forward. And today we have the great joy of baptizing Paige Paulino. And where did she go? There she is. I see her. Okay. And we just want Paige. Paige, why don't you come on forward here? Let's just welcome her. And we just invited her just to share in her own words, just her testimony and how she arrived here today in desiring to be baptized.
Hi. Sorry, I'm bad at talking in front of people. Okay, hi, I'm Paige. most of you probably know me, but if you don't, I'm Paige. I've been coming here for a little bit over a year, and today I want to get baptized basically because God has completely changed my life in just the short time that I've been trying to grow a closer relationship with him. About four years ago, my mom passed away, and that was very hard for me. I was 14 years old, and nobody really expects that to happen. And after that happened, I kept getting all of my family is religious, they're all Christians, and I just kept hearing, she's with God now, she's in a better place. This is a part of God's plan for you to help you grow closer to him. I heard all of the basic sympathetic Christian sayings that you always hear that never really help anybody out. They never really make you feel better. And it just kind of made me angry more than anything, I think. And so I just basically said, why would I ever want to believe in a God that took away my mother when I was 14 years old in the most vital times of my life? where a young teenage girl would need a mother, right? And so I basically said that I was an agnostic for the next 3 years. I became a very rude person to a lot of my friends. I had one Christian friend at the time, and I would make fun of her a lot because of that. I feel awful about it. She would talk to me about how it made her feel bad, and I would apologize, but I would continue to do that. I just refused to believe in God. I didn't want to think that he was real and that he was as loving as people say that he is. And during this time, I also was at the lowest point in my life mentally. My mental health was really bad. It was bad for that entire 3-year span because I never really properly grieved my mom dying because it was very unexpected. And because of that, my mental health just tanked. It got worse and worse throughout the years. And last December, I kind of realized that things just started to really feel hopeless. I didn't really know what to do. I didn't know what I was going to do after high school. I didn't know if I was going to make it through high school. I didn't feel like I was going to really go far in life. And so at one night in December, I just kind of prayed to a God that I hadn't really believed in for the past 3 years because I had no other idea of what to do. And a couple months after, I was still praying, but I got a job at Little Caesars, which was a very Christian homeschooled work environment. It was very weird. I didn't know that there were that many homeschooled Christians in Tocoa until I started working there. And I was talking to my Christian friend that I had mentioned earlier about wanting to get back into church, because after I prayed to God that one night, I felt more of a draw to pray more and to go to church, but I didn't know how to go about going to church. I didn't know where to go. And one of my friends who was working with me, it was actually Isaac, he had invited me to come to Grace Fellowship. He was like, you should come to my church. And so I did, with one of my friends from work. And that Sunday, I felt like, I don't know what it was, but I felt the need to come back here. And I have been back to this church every Sunday but two since then, for over a year. And one Sunday after the service, during worship, we broke up into small prayer groups. And I was in a group with Sarah Henriquez and Mandy. And Mandy asked me the question, have you been saved? And I didn't really know what that meant. They explained it to me. And I realized that it's something that I wanted to do, because after just praying to God and coming back to church, I could feel so much in my life has changed. My mental health had gotten a lot better. I felt like I had an idea of what I wanted to do. And so about a week later, I was saved. I said the prayer underneath a blanket in my bedroom. And And immediately after that, I felt a weight, a very heavy weight, just lift off my shoulder. And it felt amazing. And I started to notice God changing a lot of things in my life after that. One of the big things is the college that I chose to go to. I was looking up colleges in Texas as a joke, because I wanted to get as far away from here as possible. That was my plan. It was either go to UGA or get as far away from Tocoa as I could. And so I just looked up random schools in Texas, and I found one stood out to me, and it was Laterno University, the college that I'm attending, in a couple weeks. And I had looked at a program, and it seemed really good, and it seemed like something I really wanted to do. And it was just a thought in my head. I didn't know if I was going to actually go there, because it's very far away, and how would I get there, you know? But then I talked to some people about it at church. Mandy was one of them. She was like, really? And I don't know. It just felt like one of the, and then a lot of people from the church had heard about this college, and a lot of people at school, and a lot of people just in my life had heard about this college and were really encouraging me to go to this college, because it's a really good place. And I decided to go there because I feel like it would help me grow closer to God and stuff. And that's just one of the ways that he's helped me. I've gotten a car and a license since then. Which is insane to me. It's a lot of things. A lot of things have changed, and financially as well. I can just like things are working out with college, and I've definitely growing a closer relationship with God. He's brought me a bunch of amazing friends and removed others from my life, you know, that were not good for me. And I've just seen how He's been moving in my life and how He's changing me as a person and how He's changing my life. And I think that is amazing. But even so, I still find myself not fully giving my all to Him. I still find myself often distracted by things like my old friends who I'm no longer friends with. I still find myself being hung up on that, being hung up on things that I enjoyed that aren't really good for my walk with God. And I feel like there's no better way to fully, die to my old life than being baptized, you know? And so that's basically why I'm choosing to be baptized today. Thank you. Thank you.
All right. So we're going to close the time of worship, and we have a horse trough that's out here to the right that we're going to baptize Paige in. And so if you would, let's all stand together. We'll close in a time of worship, and then I'll come forward and just dismiss us so that we can all share in that together. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the work that You've done in Paige's life. Lord, we thank You. Lord, it just reminds us of how much You've done in each one of our lives as well, changing us and making us new, leading us into righteousness, growing us in the image of You, growing us in the knowledge of who You are. And I thank You, Lord, that You've never forsaken us even in our weakness, Lord, but You've always led us and been faithful to us. And Lord, we thank You. And Father, we ask You, Lord, even today as we share in this celebration, Lord, that You would, Lord, increase in each one of us a burden, Lord, to share this hope, to share this joy with those around us. And we ask You for these things in Jesus' name. Amen.